This Shit Works, Chapter 1. Read by me, the author, Julie Brown. Pride, parade, or dazzle? How big should your network be? While on safari in South Africa in 2019, celebrating our 15th wedding anniversary, you can take that marriage statistics, I was, and still am, completely in awe of the creatures that I was able to see so close up. The big five: elephant, lion, leopard, rhino, and buffalo. Get their name from being the most dangerous and deadly animals to approach on foot. In addition, we were able to see zebras, pronounced zebras in South Africa, giraffes, warthogs, impalas, kudus, monkeys, baboons, hyenas, and many more. Observing these animals in their natural habitat, I learned a lot of shit. No, seriously, I learned a lot about their shit. For example, rhinos will create a communal spot to poo each day. And with each rhino producing about 50 pounds of dung daily, this is one huge communal toilet. Unlike rhinos, elephants poop wherever, whenever they feel like it. Let's just say I was very glad that I was wearing ankle-high boots on our afternoon bushwalk. I'm also very happy that all of the hippos that I saw were somewhat camouflaged in the river, only their eyes giving away their location, since male hippopotamus fling their poo by spinning their tails around to impress females and to mark their territory. Talk about a literal shitstorm. While on safari, I didn't only learn about poop, I also learned about the structure and organization of the groups of each different type of animal. A group of lions is called a pride, and usually consists of three male lions and a dozen or so females with their cubs, generally around 40 lions in all. A collection of elephants is called a parade or a herd, and can vary in numbers from 8 all the way up to 100. Unlike lions, elephants are matriarchal. Each herd is led by an elder female. Elephants, like humans, form special bonds between family members, assist each other with the care of their young, and even mourn their dead. A collection of zebras is called a dazzle. Now this is my absolute favorite. You can't help but smile thinking of a line of zebras strutting their stuff, giving everything in the bush the old razzle-dazzle. Zebras live in family groups of up to 20, but during migrations, dazzles can swell to more than 1,000 zebras. On the other side of the spectrum is the solitary leopard, which spends almost its entire adult life alone. Each of these animals forms groups of a size that best suits them and also assists in their survival. Naturally, because I'm so nuts for networking, even when I was on safari, I was thinking about it, wondering, what is the best number of groups for a human? What size herd do we need to ensure that we don't just survive, but that we thrive? Do we ever get to a saturation point when we know enough people and can stop reaching out to make new connections? Well, contrary to popular belief, especially my mother's, I'm not a know-it-all. I can't tell you how many people you have to know in order to be successful. I think it could possibly be different for everyone. I maintain that quality trumps quantity, but I also believe that the more people you know and build relationships with, the more successful you will be. Even though there is not one hard and fast number of how big your network should be, there is some research that can guide us. For instance, Dunbar's number. Robin Dunbar is a British anthropologist and evolutionary psychologist whose studies of non-human primates suggest that there is a limit to the number of stable social relationships that the brain can maintain, and that this limit is tied to the size of the neocortex region of the brain. For non-human primates, the number is about 50. When this baseline is applied to the larger human neocortex, it suggests that the number of stable social relationships we as humans can effectively maintain is 150. But you know what Dunbar's number doesn't take into consideration? Databases, customer relationship management software, and other various platforms that help us maintain and monitor the health of our relationships. His research was conducted in 1992, way the hell before reliable internet, social media platforms, iPhones, and texting. At the time of this research, you were still waiting for the beep to leave your voicemail message on someone's answering machine. He had no idea that 20 years later we'd be taking pictures of our meals and posting them online in real time because everyone is so damn interested in what you had for lunch. But let's take Dunbar's 150 as a minimum number. That doesn't mean that each person in your list of 150 connections has the same status. There are different categories of relationships, and each category has a target number of people who should fill that role. Before we dive into what the categories are, we need to get one thing straight. You'll hear me talk about this in Chapter 6, but the people in these circles don't only have to be work friends. I don't believe in work friends. Regardless of where you meet someone, they are either your friend or they're not. Someone doesn't have to be in your field in order to be one of your 150 connections. It only matters that you know, like, and trust each other. Okay, now that I've got that off my chest, let's talk about what these categories are. I actually think of them as circles. Think of your network as four concentric circles surrounding a single nucleus, which is you. The further a circle is from you, the bigger it is, so you have plenty of room to fit your 150 people. But because you can't talk to 150 people every day or even every week, you've got to do some thinking about who goes where. The first circle is your top five. These are the people who are closest to you. They are your ride or die peeps. They are invested in your success and they push you to be the best you can be. Ideally, your spouse, partner, or main squeeze is one of your top five. Warren Buffett and I agree on something, other than the fact that money is nice to have, that the most successful people have one thing in common, and that is a spouse or partner who is invested in their success. This is critical. The person you choose to walk through this life with should 100% want to see you succeed and be willing to help you do so. There is no room for people in your top five or any concentric circle around you for that matter who do not want to see you succeed or are intimidated by your success. This means that if your success allows you to be the breadwinner for your family, it does not cause an ounce of resentment on your partner's part or an ounce of superiority on yours. This is not to say that you can't be wildly successful if you aren't partnered up with someone. Research suggests that single people are more social and spend a greater portion of their day staying in touch with friends, two things that will help you fill up each of your concentric circles with ease. The four remaining people that round out your top five are your strongest networking connections, the people you rely on for information, strategic introductions, advice, guidance, and more. They elevate your thinking, continuously inspire you to be better, and aid in you doing so. You need to pick these people wisely. Fostering close relationships over time has been nothing short of career-changing for me. I would not be the successful business owner I am today if I didn't have the collective knowledge of my top five to continually help me achieve more, push me to do better, be my cheerleader, and suggest my services to people in need of my skill set. It's not a one-way street, though. You need to be the kind of person who also does these things for your top five. You need to constantly help them be better at their job, either via strategic introductions, industry information, referrals, or a well-timed pep talk. Up next, the circle of 15. Ideally, there are people in your network who aren't your top five but are still so important to you that they deserve their own ring just beyond the innermost five. This next ring should be about 15 people. You should feel close to these connections, close enough to feel comfortable reaching out to them for almost anything. They should also know that they can ask you for help when they need it. This sounds a lot like the top five, and it is, but the reality is that your interactions with this group are less frequent than your closest five. If you talk to your top five multiple times a week, you likely converse with these folks in your circle of 15 once a week at most, or every other week. Moving out another ring, the circle of 50. Knowledge is power, especially in business. Think about your network. Do you have 50 people you can reach out to for information, to bounce ideas off of, to keep you informed about what is happening in the industry, and to refer you? If your answer is no, don't panic. Using all of these things I share in this book will help you fill in all of your circles. Recently, I was in a business development meeting with a client where all the principals at my client's firm were at the table. One principal mentioned that a local university had just advertised a request for architectural proposals. My client mentioned that they had been able to secure a position on one of the architectural teams submitting a proposal, but didn't know what other architects were pursuing the project. I picked up my phone and started texting the architects in my network to see if any of them were pursuing the project, and if they were, if my client's firm could join their team. Within minutes, I had responses back. I was then able to schedule a quick call to discuss the project with someone who had responded yes. And you better believe I asked them to include my client on their team. My client looked at me with big eyes and asked how I was possibly able to do this so quickly. I'll tell you the same thing I told him. I can do this because I have fostered at least 50 robust relationships within my industry. Last but not least, the circle of 100. The final circle is filled with acquaintances, people you've had solid conversations with. You make sure to have a one-on-one check-in with them when you're at the same event together. You check in with each other, ideally every 3 or 4 months, or sometimes 5 to 6 months, to see how each other is doing. This circle may seem so far away from the center that it's insignificant, but there is serious power and opportunity here. A recent study showed that 72% of jobs that win awards involve people talking to and collaborating with their outer network. Most job opportunities come from this extended network, so don't forget to stay in touch and nurture the people you know but don't necessarily know well or see all the time. They are links in your chain, just as you are a link in theirs. I call this the circle of 100, but it can certainly exceed this number, particularly if you've been working for over a decade. Your outer network grows as you grow in your career. You should always be meeting new people and creating a deep, extended network that you can tap into. Is your outer circle 100 strong, or do you need to make some new connections? Are you putting yourself in situations where you can meet people, get to know them, and then add them to your network? I've said it before and I'll say it again, a network isn't going to build itself or happen by mistake. So get out there and start meeting people. Do I believe that when you hit the number in these 4 circles of connections that you should stop meeting people? Hell no. I look at these numbers as a minimum numbers of connections you should have. Managing this many relationships takes diligence and finesse, but it can be done, especially when you use a customer relationship software to help you organize your contacts, keep track of your interactions with them, and remind you to connect with them every 12 weeks. See Chapter 3 for recommendations for CRMs. Chapter 1 To-Dos. Take an objective look at your network. You really don't want to guess how big your network is. It's too important to leave up to chance. So take a minute now to assess your circles. Step 1, create a spreadsheet with 4 columns. The left column is your 5 closest relationships. The next is your circle of 15. The next is your circle of 50. And the column way to the right is your extended network of 100 relationships or more. Or if you want to use a worksheet that's already been created for you, go to juliebrownbd.com/reallygoodshit and download the workbook I've put together for you. It's got a spot for you to list out your circles, as well as a place to list yourself and a checklist for spiffing up your LinkedIn profile. Step 2. Now start listing names in each of the 4 columns. Go through your LinkedIn connections, CRM, and or email address book to help you remember how many awesome people you know. Be sure to include your family and your friends. They are your network too. 3, determine which columns need the most work. Try to determine when you last interacted with each person in your network. And 4, if you feel your network is solely lacking, don't panic. This book will give you all the tools to not only fill those columns, but to fill them with amazing, genuine relationships.